Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table,
a new United Methodist community of faith taking shape at Central UMC in Sacramento, California.
The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Duhirsu,
with a musical introduction by Anthony Coleman, our director of music.
Thanks for listening.
Ephesians 2, 1 through 7 this morning. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh, air, and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Down for so long, everything I did was wrong, and I found fault in everyone but me. I was hurt and alone, I could not find my way home, broke down and hungry and too tired to moan. I heard somebody calling my name, saying ain't no need to be shamed, 'cause I found out that the door was always open. I found out that the door was always open. Found out that the door was always open.
It really is perfect that Mark fixed this room this morning for us. Being married to a contractor is very handy, very, very handy. I was raised in homes that churches owned called parsonages. My father was a man of words, not of tools. So I married the opposite of my father in many, many beautiful ways. And so I want to say that this series, that's part of why I was laughing at Matt so much last week. I did go into ministry with someone a lot like my father. So it's fun to tease a little bit. But being a person who's comfortable with tools is really a gift. And before the DIY network was born, you know, we had DIY books. There were always pictures. But the DIY network is really fun in our house, but probably for different reasons than most people. And we watch it all the time. There are other shows besides Yard Crashers that I find particularly pleasing. There's this one called Holmes, H-O-L-M-E-S, on homes. He's a contractor. And so he goes in to projects gone wrong. So you can imagine, we like that show. It's fun for us. That's one of them. And then there's this other show, maybe you've watched it, called Renovation Realities. And that's when people are absolutely sure they can do it themselves. And that is hysterical, because they get stuck. And so the game in our house is, either with Homes on Homes or Renovation Realities, is that my daughter and I will get to a certain place and we'll freeze it. And then we call Mark in. And we go, what's gonna happen? Watch this. And so we play a little scene, and that Mark is the most religious ever, because he usually goes, oh my God. Or the big one, when I know it's bad, he's like, Jesus Christ. Very religious. And then he shakes his head, and he walks out of the room, and we have a good time, because we think, yay, we found another scene for him. But within all of that, part of what happens in our home is, it's not just yard crashers. I don't know if you know, but there's yard crashers, bath crashers, kitchen crashers, home crashers, and then, there's a crash week in July. It's every July. So that is fun, because it's the whole thing. It's the whole thing. So I'm just going to give you the teaser that was for this week. Can we watch that together, Greg? It's just 30 seconds.
Just when you thought it was safe to go to the home improvement store.
How's it going?
Oh, Jesus.
Are you looking to knock down any walls?
I'm looking for a bathroom to tear apart.
You're kidding.
No.
Crash week is bad. Home improvement's heavy hitters are taking over primetime.
All these trucks pull up.
Being crashed is insane madness.
Watch all new Crashers episodes every night.
I love it.
It is now appointment television. Make plans.
Crash week starts July 9th at 8, only on DIY Network.
I love that. I love it because, do you see, it's not just one person anymore. There are four crashers. One of them's a female. There's four crashers now because, you know, everyone's different. And you need to be crashed. Well, we all have different needs. And you need to be crashed in different ways. So my favorite line out of that is, knocking down walls is no big deal, right? That's not really true. But before you ever get to the stage of knocking down walls, like what they're doing, you really need to do some thinking. And these are for decoration, but really, this is what it looks like. If someone's gonna come, and maybe if you've ever done a plan, look at all of these pages and pages of work that it takes before you're ready to knock down walls. But they are ready to help you in yard crashers. Are you ready or looking to knock down any walls? What walls do you want to knock down? That's the first question that the builder or the architect is going to ask you. What walls do you really want or think need to be knocked down. Matt shared with us this picture last week, and I just want to review it because we're going through it, and today we're really going to stay on the porch. But when we talk about knocking down walls, we're doing it in a frame of grace. And many years ago, over 200 years ago now, John Wesley, who founded the Methodist Church, had his own explanation, really, for how a person could be renovated by grace, how that could happen. And John Wesley used this image of a house, even way back then. And he talked about how our main doctrines as United Methodists would include three areas: the porch, which is prevenient grace, the door, which is once you walk through having met God and saying yes to God, is justifying grace. And then the house, which is later on when you're living in God's grace. And some people might tell you this is a one-time event in your life, this walking through the door, entering the porch. We don't happen to ascribe to that because, you know, we've been around long enough to know people come in and out of that door. But this is the framework that we're operating on. How does it work, that framework from John Wesley? What does he really mean? I think what he really means is to speak about grace is to say that most things in our life that are really worth expecting are things that are unexpected. And our explicit, like, anticipations of what should or could happen to us may be fulfilled, may be disappointed, but either way, the things we don't anticipate that happen to us on our way to being people of faith are surprises. They're really, when you come down to it, surprises. And it's on the front porch where that first happens. It's on the front porch that we get to know God and ourselves a little better. I think Matt did a good job of painting a nice front porch. Mine, you know, would be the wraparound kind with a rocker and swing and a basket of yarn for knitting and some sweet tea if it's in the heat of the day. The front porch. A porch doesn't say, rush on through, get in the house. A porch says, look, stop, sit, think. How was your day? Or if you go out on the morning, how is your day going to be? What do you want for yourself today? On the front porch, we get to know God. And sometimes when we sit long enough, we kind of figure out we're not perfect, right? We just sit for a little while. And sometimes when we're on the front porch, we actually go so far as to have the thought that our lives need a little bit more of something. We're not always sure. Usually we aren't. Our lives need a little bit more of something. Some renovating. A little bit of dust being turned up. A few walls torn down. But we don't always know what those are. So we talk about in the church having a foundation then and building a foundation. And that's a level in the dirt. And you need a level. We have one back there on the wall. As you walk out, we have a level, just what one will look like. The thing that's interesting about a level to me, actually, if you'll turn and look at that level, see how long it is? But see those little tiny round parts? That's really what matters. There's that huge, huge tool, but the only way you know whether it's level or not is if you can see the little bubble, which is like this little in that huge tool. You see, we need big tools to help us find our level places. And fortunately for us, God has somewhat of a fixer-upper bend to God's self. So as we heard Katie read for us this morning, God is really forgiving and merciful and continues to pour out the gift of grace on us, whether we're level or not, actually, whether we have good plans or not. And God's there throughout our whole project, also known as our life. Our life is a project. That's true fixer-up mentality. Because see, if you're really going to fix something up, and this is why Mark is a good contractor, when it's wrong, he never gets upset. When a window has to be moved, and I've lived with this man 27 years, 1 inch, a whole window, 1 inch. He's like, yep, just an inch. But it makes a huge difference, an enormous difference. That's why grace comes. We are living our lives. They may seem great. They may look great. But something has to move an inch. God's not upset about that. We may be perfectly happy the way things are. We may have a sense that something isn't quite right, something could go better, but we're not sure what it is. And so we sit and we wait, or we walk around and ignore it. And either way, God is around us. Here's what that looks like. I'm going to tell you a story. Bishop James Thomas, he was the first African-American to be elected bishop in the United Methodist Church, told this story. I was raised with it. He took a touring group of people to the city of Prague. It was a long time ago, and so it was a dangerous place for the church to go. But it was a friendship mission, and they went to tour and to be just present as they could with the people. There was a woman that was part of the tour, and her name was Dorothy. And Dorothy was an older retired school teacher. And you know how older retired school teachers, deanies here, they're so sweet. You know, they're these kind ladies. That was Dorothy. She was curious and wondering, and she was part of the tour. And they would take the tour, and they would look around, and Dorothy would be gone. Again. Dorothy was prone to wandering. But they were in a dangerous place. So they would be looking at the landmarks and doing all of the things they were supposed to do on the program when suddenly someone would go, anybody seen Dorothy? And they'd say, no, she's gone again. They'd fan out. Until they found her in some schoolyard talking to children or on a bench talking to some older ladies. And they'd bring her back in, and they'd say, Dorothy, we're over here now. Finding Dorothy, said Bishop Thomas, was grace. That's grace. In Luke 15 in the Bible, Jesus says that God is like a shepherd who has 99 sheep but goes after the one that's lost. In Luke, it says, God is like a woman who has 10 coins, but if she loses one, she does everything in her power just to find that one. It also says that God is like a dad longing and yearning for the return of the lost son, the lost one, the misbehaving one. That's the one that God is worried about. God is like a frustrated bus captain and a bunch of tired tourists who comb the streets looking for Dorothy. That's what grace on the porch is like. Before we think about God, God is thinking about us. Before we realize we need God's help and that we're lost, does Dorothy feel lost talking to those children? Not one bit. Not one bit. From the very beginning of our lives, God makes a covenant with us. When we are not even old enough to speak, God loves us. God goes before us. God prepares a way. God makes a covenant. That's what grace is like, and that's a lot of church language. And it's hard to negotiate some of that. So I'll say it like this. God is like that circle of tourists going to find Dorothy. The writer of Ephesians, Katie read it for us this morning, says it like this, God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which God has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together in Christ by grace. By grace we are saved. Back to Dorothy again. Bishop Thomas always said they would start peeking around those corners and checking out the shops until they would hear somewhere, we found her! We found her. In grace, God finds us like that. Because when we speak of God like this in this image, what we're really saying, that is a challenge, I know, is that our lives finally and utmost are not our own. We think we're doing it all ourselves, but our lives are not our own. We are not only recipients of a gift we don't create, the very gift of life, but throughout our life we're given gifts that we probably don't even deserve. Keep Dorothy in mind. We are given gifts and experiences. We get joy in the midst of pain that at the end we can never control. We can't control it. We try to build everything ourselves, but the gift of grace actually ends up building through us and in spite of us. In spite of Dorothy's choices to go off route, she keeps getting found. She keeps getting found. So what happens if we miss it? Like, what happens if Dorothy went off and no one came to look for her? At that time, she probably would have been arrested and put in jail. She was an American in a country that was not friends with us. It was dangerous for her to be where she was. That's called being lost. That's another way people in church talk about missing God, being lost. It happens actually a lot. We know it, and sometimes we don't. And depending on where you are in your own journey, sometimes we miss God until we don't. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. I know this sounds really amorphous, like, what is she talking about? That's the way grace is. Grace on the porch is one of the most elusive things, experiences, moments in a human being's life. All I can say is, the more you watch for it and try and find it, the easier it is to keep recognizing. So I just want to say this also about grace, because sometimes this is hard to figure out too. Sometimes grace, everything I've said to you for the most part is good, but sometimes grace comes as an admonition, you know? It's a hard thing. Sometimes grace comes out of making the wrong decision and living through it and paying a really hard price and being still standing to tell the tale. We invest too much trust or too much hope in another person or an institution or a cause, and we are disappointed. Lance Armstrong is going through it right now. And many people are devastated. Admonition, grace still can work through that. There are places that I'm willing to say are not graceful. And I'm willing to say that the innocent death of a child or children, that's not an admonition that we learn from. That might even be evil. And organized evil happens in our world too, in wars, in genocide, in Holocaust. That's not the kind of admonition that I'm talking about. Those are not signs of grace from God. But there are some times when we live through loss, when we live through pain, pain that really feels like we can't bear it, that may hold within it a healing presence, a warm place that comes out as a new understanding, a new future. That would be being on the porch of grace. So I want to go back to Dorothy and say, Bishop Thomas said a small group finally, within the larger tour group, got together, had to have a meeting. They're Methodists. Had to have a meeting and discuss a strategy. Because Dorothy was not going to stop that behavior. So they decided to surround her, but she would never know it, with a circle. And so, no matter what, from a certain point onward in the rest of their tour, they took turns having an eye on her. You see, they'd gotten to know her a little bit. They knew what it would take to watch over her, this particular person in love. And they would walk along and they'd scatter along the outside of the larger group. And she didn't know there was a circle. She had no idea. But all the time, Dorothy was kept well within the vision and the care of Grace. That's how Grace works on the porch. I know that sometimes that's hard to know and to understand, so I'm going to, don't show it yet, Greg. I'm going to show a different video. It's not a crashing video. This is another show. Dear Genevieve. Genevieve is a person who you call upon when everything that you have in your home isn't really working right. She rearranges the stuff you have most of the time. Sometimes it really just needs to be cleared out. Brings in a little bit of new stuff, but talks with you about who you are, what you want, what you desire. And you're going to see a clip of a couple who have a front room that they walk through, they live in all the time. All the time. Let's watch and see what happens.
Dear Genevieve, our living room currently looks more like a prison cell than the charming room that we know it can be.
The entire time I've been in this house, it's been a constant state of transition. The moment we moved in, it's what are we gonna fix? What are we gonna paint? What are we gonna do? It's never been a time where we can just relax and enjoy the house.
And is this bugging you? Does it feel like an irritant? How do you feel in the room?
This is the first room that you walk into in our house, and it's right now a storage room. So yeah, it's kind of embarrassing.
So you walk in and it's like, oh, gross.
Right, okay.
It's frustrating to walk by the living room, know it's not done, know we're not getting as much use out of it as we should. It's wasted space, and it's really a shame.
Oh my god. I think we just came into the wrong house.
This is not ours.
Are you sure this is our house?
No. Oh my god.
I love the curtains.
Excellent.
Wow.
This is excellent.
Can't believe how nice everything looks in here.
I don't think I could have ever picked something out like this.
No way.
This is golden. How much do you love that?
I absolutely love it. Oh my god, look at Mackie.
Queen Mackie is awesome. I did not believe that it would look this good when we came back. I can never imagine that the furniture choices, the paintings, that it would all come together like this. Jen, come on.
You
did so good.
And this is all Italian silk drapery, adding some pattern and some depth.
I love the color of the curtains. It's
and great. The light kind of is muddled and filters through. It's so,
so
love your window. Is it cozy?
Yes, it is cozy.
Oh my god, it's great.
I am feeling so much joy right now and so much pleasure in this room. I just want to stay here forever. Look at this couch.
So great.
I mean, how perfect is it for this room?
I'm like shaking right now.
For this, and this is like unbelievable.
I feel like there's so much more stuff in here now, but there's more room. So
it's how you use the composition, how you create flow, and by naturally creating a traffic path here,
right?
You can use the rest of the room. You knew exactly where to go when you walked in because it was pathed out.
Exactly,
You knew exactly where to go because it was pathed out for you. Words of love and joy is what the people say. One of the things that Genevieve almost always does is put pictures that people have of the things they love the most in a simple frame so they can enjoy the life and the people they love in a new way. Most of what you saw was already there. I love the question, is this bugging you? Is this an irritant? Is it? How do you feel in this room? She asks. Embarrassed, like it's a storage room of junk. It's wasted space. It's really a shame. They're wonderful, loving couple, people who want their lives to be better. And with just a few little tweaks here and there, and their sense of their own space, they come back in and say things like, "Look how nice everything looks. I could have never picked something out like this. There's more stuff in here, but it feels like there's more room." How many times do we think working on a problem feels like more of a burden? Right? It's just how you use the composition, Genevieve says, how you create flow, and by naturally creating a traffic pattern, you can use the rest of the room, like the rest of your life, because it's passed out for you. Dorothy had a circle that was passed out for her, and she didn't know it. Grace is a message that says, God has our life in a way passed out for us, not predestined, not like a puppeteer, but just there, waiting for love to be created and to create. And we really need this because this is the foundation of living in love and learning the stories of Jesus and moving forward in next steps. We need it because we all get lost from time to time. We need it because some of us are really good at finding others. Some of us are really good at that. That's grace too. We need it, grace it, because we just need it. That's why we're here, existing in a world full of God's prevenient grace. Prevenient, the grace that goes before us. So I just want to leave you with this image. The grace that goes before us, I like to think about it as a red carpet. I've never walked one. I have dreams. A red carpet. It's there before we get out of the limo, right? They're expecting us, one way or the other. It's like a table that's already set at Ella downtown. Beautiful table. Whether we're showing up or not, that table is there. Either way. It's like a church that turns on the heat and lights all the candles and has music ready whether you walk in the door or not. We are those who build our own lives. Yes, we are DIY people, but we are even more than that, persons whose lives are built and then need crashing by God. We're all close to God's heart when we perceive in however way we can that our own plans, our own intentions are working towards and in concert with God's hope for good in the world. So that's what I offer for us to ponder in prayer this morning. To think about the way we want to work in harmony with God.
Will your grace run out if I let you down? 'Cause all I know is how to run. 'Cause I am a sinner. If it's not one thing, it's another. Caught up in words, tangled in lies. But you are a savior, and you take brokenness aside and make it beautiful, beautiful.